Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Brian Gonzalez. Today, I am joined by the Commissioner Drew Thomas and introducing for the first time, Tyler Olson. He has just become a Jazz fan once again after Golden State lost in the finals.
Oh, come on, man. You got to do that now? No, it's good to be with you guys. Your first podcast was awesome, so glad to be here. What a summer, right?
Yeah, no kidding. We are only a few days into free agency, and it's time to introduce a new segment called The Full Court Press, where we go over everything in the NBA and what else is there to talk about in the NBA besides money. Money, 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 money. The free agents galore. Drew Thomas, what are your thoughts on the free agents?
On the free agents or the money? Or
both? Well, how about all of it?
I think it's insane, to be honest. But, I mean, it's nothing that – I mean, it didn't come as a surprise, right? People act so shocked and act like it wasn't expected. And people are freaking out about these people and the money they're getting. It's like, well, just wait till LeBron signs his deal. Just wait till – Kevin Durant decides what he's going to do on Monday, and then you can have your little fits. But overall, man, it was exciting. It was cool to see people starting to kind of pick their spots and where they're going to end up. And I don't know, I thought it was a great beginning of free agency.
Well, what I think most people are freaking out is not necessarily maybe – I mean, it's hard to digest people like, you know, Mike Conley signing a $153 million deal, but Mike Conley's a really good player. I think what people are freaking out about is the Lakers signing Timothy Mozgov to a $65 million deal. So the money is just kind of insane with these, you know, I mean, not bad players, but players that aren't difference makers per se, getting just stupid amounts of money.
Timofey Mozgov was the 12th or 13th man off the bench for Cleveland and got $65 million.
And he was the first guy signed.
Yep.
The Lakers pretty much locking up the 2016-17 championship.
I mean, you think Hassan Whiteside, Al Horford, the prime big men in free agency, and they go right for Timofey Mozgov. I didn't understand it.
Well, the thing I think was funny was, did you see Justin Hamilton's contract?
I did not.
Two years for $6 million.
hey, the dude's still in the league getting paid.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. It's just like, was this guy just not aware of what was going on? Did not know what was happening? I mean, dude, you signed, there's these $18 million contracts, $50 million contracts, $113 million contracts, and then $6 million.
I just thought that was funny. What I don't understand is Mac Biombo, Yon Mahimi, and Mozgov are all making $16 to $18 million per year.
Wow.
Derek Favors makes $11 million. And he's better than every single one of those dudes by a mile.
I thought it was interesting that Jordan Clarkson got signed back up for $50 million. And I don't know, I put more value in Jordan Clarkson than Timofey Mozgov, but he did, apparently he did like Los Angeles a lot. I don't know why he would, but whatever.
One of the most shocking things is Dallas unable to bring in anybody.
How about that? What is going on in Dallas? Is Mark Cuban rubbing players the wrong way? I mean, Dallas is not well, I know you hate Dallas, Drew, but it's known as not being a terrible place to be. Mark Cuban is an awesome owner. Yeah. They still have Dirk. It's not like it's a terrible place. This is not Sacramento we're talking about.
Can you imagine what's going on in like with the executives over there in Dallas with Mark Cuban? Like, we can get all these successful businesses, we can do all this kind of stuff, and we can't bring over one athlete who's freaking pitching these guys, you know? I just kind of
they lowballed Parsons. DeAndre burned them last year.
Yeah.
Whiteside burned them this year.
Did you hear what happened with Mike Conley?
Tell the story.
So Mike Conley was over there at Dallas, and at that same time, Chandler Parsons was over in Memphis. Chandler Parsons signs while Mike Conley's in there being pitched by Dallas. When Mike leaves, he hears Chandler signs with Memphis, and so he hops on a plane, goes right over to Memphis, and re-signs with Memphis. Not even
I did not know that. That's awkward.
Yeah.
Or I heard Harrison Barnes was. Harrison Barnes signed his max offer sheet while the entire Warriors brass and top players, Draymond, Steph, they're out there recruiting KD, and he signs a max deal while they're all in the Hamptons.
Yep.
That makes for an awkward situation.
It's like, all right, bro, guess we'll talk to you later then.
Yeah, but you kind of saw the writing on the wall. I think that was kind of going to happen. I don't think that was as crazy of a thing. I mean, the fact that Harrison Barnes is a good player. He just didn't have a good playoffs, you know?
He had a crappy playoffs. He was pretty bad.
I just think he brings a lot to the table. He's a versatile forward, and that's where the league is going. They do it all. He plays defense, I think. He's got great size. He hit a decent percentage from three this year. He didn't show up in the playoffs. What was he, one for his last 30 or something from three?
That was terrible.
It was bad. And it kind of bummed me out because I think Harrison Barnes is a good player. Just didn't work out for him in the playoffs.
I would say not to judge the playoffs, you know, too harshly. He definitely didn't show up, but I think he's worth the max contract, especially with the way these guys are making the money.
Well, especially with the cap going up next year again, it's not going to be that kind of contract where I think we're going to handcuff the team. So we'll see. Was there anything particularly out of the last few days that really jumped out and surprised you, not including the Jazz?
Well, I think Dwight Howard going back to Atlanta. I mean, he's from there. He didn't ever play with them, but I think that could help him out. I know he's been kind of a shell of his former self, but he's his own worst enemy, right, guys?
Yep.
I don't want to start on Dwight Howard. I hate Dwight Howard.
I'm not as a person.
I hate the fact that he should be Wilt Chamberlain reincarnate, and he's not.
Yeah, Dwight's just a showman. I don't know. I don't even want to get into Dwight. But speaking about Houston, I really like the Ryan Anderson signing. I think that's going to be a sweet fit for him over there in Houston. Even though
Eric Gordon as well. So yeah. They've got a ton of shooters on that team now. I mean, they went to the West Finals a year ago.
And then the team simply fell apart, though. And I think that blame lies on their best player, Mr. James Harden.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it, too, was at fault of Dwight as well. Dwight just doesn't know how to be a professional athlete, I don't think. And the same thing goes for Harden, too. Harden's just not for himself.
Agreed. But the thing is, with Harden, you know, he doesn't like to play defense, and then he blames the rest of the team. So yeah. That can get old.
Have you heard about the whole thing going on with Allen Crabbe today?
He hadn't made an offer sheet, right?
Yeah, but now Brooklyn is saying it didn't happen. And so we don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But see, the latest report, nope. Yeah, it's they're refuting it and saying that there wasn't an offer extended. That's interesting. I like Allen Crabbe. I think he's an interesting player. I wonder if he's going to land or stay with Portland or end up in Brooklyn. Speaking of Brooklyn, our boy Trevor Booker, man.
Yeah, and with that, we should move on to the Jazz. And out of the
before we do though, Kevin Durant, as of Sunday night, has said that it's down to the Warriors and the Thunder. He will make his decision on Monday morning. The biggest free agent, obviously, narrowed it down to two places. I really wanted to see him go to Boston personally.
So did I.
I thought that would be great competition for LeBron James in the Eastern Conference, bring a little more interest there. Obviously, it helps the Jazz as a Jazz fan foremost. Watching KD go out of the Northwest and the Western Conference, I welcome that.
Yeah, honestly.
That kind of bums me out. Why would you want – I mean, just me personally as a competitor, why would you want to go to the team that's been kicking your butt and the team that you had on the ropes? Why would you not – why would you want to go join forces with them? Maybe it's the kind of players that are around today, but it's like in church ball or something when you're going to play pickup ball and a team gets together that goes on a run of 4 or 5 games. And me personally, I'm always the guy that's like, no, let's not reshoot. I want to beat these guys. Let's go one more.
Well, us outside of the San Antonio Spurs, I'd say the only teams in the last 10 years to have won the titles are the ones that teamed up, the Celtics, the Heat. You know, Andre Iguodala was an all-star in Philadelphia and was the top player in Denver, but decided to go be a sixth man in Golden State to get the ring. I think these guys ultimately, you know, want to win championships. If he wants to win the title, he goes and signs with Golden State. I think if he could do it in OKC. I mean, they've been shaking things up as well, but the, you know, them and the Spurs, if you go there, you can compete for a title every year, they've shown. I think that ultimately is what it comes down to it, but.
And I think, I don't know, I think you're right, Ty. That mentality about I want to be the best by beating the best, and I'm going to do it. I think that might be, I don't want to see outdated, but
you look at, yeah, I mean, exactly. This generation of players, they all get together and go on banana boat rides. You know, they're all boys, so they all want to hang out and play on the same team. See, I guarantee you, if it was up to LeBron, he'd trade Kyrie and Kevin Love for Carmelo and Chris Paul.
And see,
he would do that in a second.
Right,
yes.
There, though, is you look at players that had that mentality: Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Clyde Drexler. None of those guys have rings, right? They tried to do it by beating the best, and they just got beat. And I mean, if that's the case, you kind of learn from history and say, all right, if I can't beat the best, then I'm going to go join the best. And in the end, I mean, all it does is leave OKC in shambles with Enes Kanter standing there in the middle of all the rubble, so I really don't care.
Just to correct you, Drew, Hakeem Olajuwon's got two rings, bro.
Does he?
Yes.
94 and 95, 2 years Jordan was playing baseball.
Sorry, I was just naming off a bunch of 90s players.
No, the thing is, I'm with you, but I don't get bugged as much with the players being friends. That's fine, but in the end, like, you can still be friends and still want to beat each other. You know what I mean? So I think Boston would have been an awesome option because he would have gone and still been the unquestioned top dog, but still had a really, really solid team around him. So it's kind of a bummer to see him.
You could make the case that Boston overperformed in a shitty conference last year. I mean, they added Al Horford this year. Their best player was Isaiah Thomas.
I'd say the biggest and best thing that Boston has going for them, though, is their coach. Yeah. He's got the right system there. They just signed Al Horford, which is huge, I believe, for them to take the next step. I mean, I immediately after today, after free agency, I would put Boston number two ahead of Toronto.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think
huge. That system is great, and those guys they play great defense and team ball. And yeah, if they had somebody like Durant, though,
but that's the thing. Who look who Durant had in OKC? Are the players that are in Boston, including Al?
Oh yeah, no, I put OKC above Boston for if I was Kevin Durant because of what's there. You can go back to OKC and get paid more money and win titles with the talent that is there. They took the Warriors all the way to seven games and looks like they had them on the ropes.
Exactly. And that all comes down to my point. Like, yeah, you go to Boston where, okay, so you probably had a better supporting cast. You go to Boston so you can be the guy to beat the best. And then you end up losing in Boston to LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you're right back where you were at square one. I mean, the mentality right now is you got to join up to win, and that's what people are doing.
That would
be a great matchup, but Kevin Durant isn't looking for great matchups. Kevin Durant's looking for a championship ring, and the best place for him to do that is at Golden State.
Agreed.
Yeah, see, to me, it just means less. If you went to Golden State, it would mean less. I mean, this is a fan podcast. I think a lot of fans would feel that if he went to Golden State, it wouldn't be the same as like this last championship for LeBron. Whether you're a LeBron fan or not, what he did in those finals was the stuff that go in the record books forever and something that you don't forever forget.
Yeah, but people don't diminish Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett's ring. People don't diminish LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh's ring. I mean, when you look at it, they they all made moves. They all did exactly what KD would be doing. And no one's sitting here saying, oh, yeah, their ring just doesn't count as much because they couldn't do it where they got drafted or where they were before.
I think it's a little different because the big three in Boston, wasn't that traded for? Danny made that happen. It wasn't him in free agency. Chris Bosh or Westbrook was going to Miami.
See, I just don't think I think if KD went to Golden State and they won it, I don't think people would be saying, "Oh, pat KD on the back, good job, buddy. You had to go somewhere else to do it." I don't think people would just see him as a champ and recognize him as a champ.
I don't think it matters where he goes and where he does
remember,
it.
He's like the golden boy right now of the NBA. Everyone loves KD. KD can do no wrong. I mean, and it's not like he has that persona following him that LeBron has where people are going to say that about him. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll agree to disagree. But this is a Utah Jazz podcast, so let's move on to the Jazz. And it wasn't who we thought it was going to be. Jared Dudley ends up going back to the Phoenix Suns. Luol Deng cashes in on the Lakers being an absolutely horrific front office and gets, 4 years, $74 million from the Lakers?
I will say the two guys that they signed, at least they bring some sort of veteran presence to that young team with Ingram and Clarkson, D'Angelo, Randall. I mean, they've got a young core, but I agree. I personally don't understand the moves, but for what it's worth.
Yes, he goes to the Lakers. And Solomon Hill, somebody who it looked like the Jazz were really going to pursue, ends up in New Orleans, I believe. Is that right, guys? I believe he ends up in New Orleans. And the Jazz, out of nowhere, because I swear the Jazz are a part of the Illuminati, because this was not heard of until it was announced, sign Joe Johnson to a 2-year deal worth $22 million?
2-year, 22, $11 million per.
$11 million per, which in this current economy is an absolute bargain.
No, they got George Hill on an $8 million contract, Joe Johnson on $11 million per. They're making all the right moves right now. They've still got cap space and a full team. They can either extend Favors or Hill. They could spend the money on another guy, but yeah, exactly. Like who would you bring in? This roster right now from top to bottom is stacked. It's not the sexiest of moves, but I think it moves things forward to where the Jazz are a 45-50 win team. They're in the playoffs. And then that's where names are made, right? I mean, Rodney Hood, Gordon Hayward, Favors, these guys together on the floor. Again, you know, I want to see how they do in that type of situation. And those guys are going to provide the veteran leadership. They've been there. I love it, personally.
Drew, what do you think of the Joe Johnson signing?
I'm pumped for it, man. I mean, it's all about options right now, right? Quinn's system is so versatile as far as people being able to play in different positions. And when you have a guy like Joe Johnson that can just come off the bench and just have the potential that instant scoring threat just comes right onto the court. I mean, I don't see how you can be excited about it. People on Facebook, like on Jazz Nation, are raving about how he's old and washed up and stuff, but it's like you still can't take away that veteran leadership and that winning mentality that Joe Johnson brings to the table and can have it kind of leech off onto the younger guys.
To those fans, I would say if Alec Burks and Rodney Hood or Gordon Hayward miss any time next year, you've got a guy that can step in and play.
No, absolutely.
Getting back to what you said earlier, Ryan, about who we signed, surprisingly missing out on Jared Dudley, Solomon Hill, Luol Deng. I think it was the years that the Jazz were willing to give up in that respect. Those guys all signed 3 or 4 year deals. The Jazz have core players coming up for extension in 2 summers. So the 2-year deal for Joe Johnson was perfect.
And that's
I believe they would have had either Dudley or Deng would have signed with the Jazz first if they would have been willing to take that 2-year deal.
Oh, absolutely. I can't stress enough how incredible a job the Jazz front office is doing, because they're recognizing what they have to do and they're going after players that are fitting what they need to do. Yeah. And the Luol Deng contract would not have worked in Utah, because you're going to lose somebody, like maybe even a Rudy Gobert that you can't afford to pay, because Rudy's probably going to get a max and Gordon's probably going to get a max. And so the Luol Deng contract would not have worked here. The Jared Dudley one, maybe. I mean, they're paying him, what, $10 million a year? But I think Joe Johnson fits exactly what they wanted, because you're right. He is that veteran. He's been there before in the East. He has been a proven scorer, and he's been a starter his entire career. Yes, his numbers were down last year, but he's still shooting fairly efficiently, which is something all the Jazz also like. And because he's not going to be a starter in Utah, that means less miles are going to be put on his legs, which means exactly. He's going to be fresher throughout the season.
And then guys like that come in at playoff time and earn their money in that 2-week period, you know?
Ty, what was that stat you brought up where he had, was it the most game-winning fourth quarter shot or something? What was it?
Game-winning buzzer beaters since 2006. Joe Johnson has 7 game-winning buzzer beaters. The next closest guys are tied at 3.
Nice.
So I just thought that was interesting. You know, when you need a shot, the game's on the line. As much as I love Hayward and every guy on our team, we've been missing that guy that can get his shot. He has that old man game, so he can take a smaller guy down on the post. His post-up game is above average, I would say, especially for his position. And he played, I think, a third of the time at the 4 for Miami last year. So again, versatility for this team. There's interchangeable players at every spot. I mean, next year, is Hayward the 2? Is he the 3? Is it doesn't matter. These guys are interchangeable. I love it.
Yeah, and that's what I was telling. I can't remember who I was telling this earlier. I kind of see him as more of like a Jamal Crawford type role for the Clippers, right? Where he comes off the bench, is the first guy off the bench, and you're just ready for showtime, because you know that he's going to find buckets and he's going to be able to score, and you feel confident about having someone come off the bench. When last year, I mean,
Joe Ingles, I love him, but you know, when your sixth man coming off the bench is Chris Johnson and Joe Ingles.
Yeah, you just
I'm excited to see how Joe can push Alec too.
Exactly.
What's awesome about this is you're right. I mean, I think all of Jazz Nation loves Joe Ingles, but I feel like this puts Joe Ingles in exactly the right spot on the team. He's no longer that sixth man. He's no longer that starter, emergency starter. He's the guy that comes in and gives you 10 to 15 minutes a night when you need him. You know, he's the middle reliever, to have a baseball term. You know, he's not a guy that you lean on particularly, but he's a guy that still has a ton of value, and he's in the right spot. Everybody's in their right spot on this team now.
The best thing about Ingles,
the Jazz. Go ahead, Sergio.
No, it's just the best thing about Ingles is his basketball IQ, and he just knows how to play the game. So when he comes out, or when he comes on the floor for 10 to 15 minutes, I mean, you're not going to get. Well, and that's the thing, is it's inconsistent. Like, you could get tons of scoring out of him. You can get great scoring. But the one thing that you can count on is that he's not going to turn the ball over, and that he's going to make the right passes, right? And that's
he's
what I think.
He's not a ball stopper. He definitely moves the ball. He came in and played the point four for us, the point forward, you know.
And it's just – that's the thing. I think people are way
guys,
too hard
on guys, I just have to say the point guard position for the Utah Jazz has definitely
– skyrocketed?
Yeah. However you want to put it.
Well, now
Neto and Trey Burke, Dante Exum and George Hill. George Hill probably gets the start, but That's so much better.
Speaking of Trey Burke, I would personally like to reach out to Trey and thank him for his time here.
Yeah.
And he had every opportunity to complain and moan, and he didn't. You were a pro. I think Jazz fans thank you for that, and I absolutely wish him luck in Washington. Is the Jazz trade Trey Burke for a second round pick?
And see, that's what I mean, and that's what we were talking about in this last podcast, man. It's how you conduct yourself with Utah. I mean, we're pretty unforgiving when it comes to that kind of stuff. And if you go out the way Burke did, that guy's going to get applauded when he comes into Vivint Smart Home Arena every single time.
Can we
he's just going to.
This is our show. This is our show. We make the rules. Can we please call it the Delta Center?
Okay, I'm down for that. We'll call it the Delta Center.
Okay. On this show, thus it's in the All That Jazz Constitution. We're calling it the Delta Center.
But yeah, Trey definitely played it right. I mean, he had plenty of opportunities to be upset and voice himself the way that Canner did. And he took the high road, and now he's going to Brooklyn where he can get a fresh start. And I mean, all the power to him. I'm pumped for him.
Brooklyn? Wait, oh, Booker? Is that what you're just saying?
No, where was Trey going?
Trey's going to Washington.
Washington, that's right. Washington, yeah.
Trevor Booker
is going to Brooklyn.
Is going to Brooklyn. Also, the writing was kind of on the wall for Mr. Booker and another guy I absolutely thank for his time, his energy in Utah. That guy's another one. He'll be a Jazz man, you know, forever. What else do we need? Oh, what did I do? Oh, I didn't do anything. Okay. About
this
Jazz,
just came
yes.
over the wire. Darren Williams re-signs with Dallas. 1 year deal, $10 million.
At least they can re-sign current players.
I'm telling you, they
that are desperate for out. Anything.
Would you rather be the Lakers or the Mavericks right now?
I would never rather be a Laker.
No, I mean as a franchise, if you're a fan of either or, which franchise is in worse shape?
I think the Mavericks.
Yeah, the
I think
Mavs so for too. Sure.
I really
they
do.
They have zero young talent. As much as I love Wes Matthews, as much as I enjoy Dirk, they don't have any young talent like the Lakers have. And right now, like they're kind of in a Jazz mode, aren't they?
Well, the one thing you could always say is they could get free agents, but even now, like they've been burned by nearly everybody.
What's going on with Dirk? Is he staying or is he going? Because I know
he opted out, but he'll probably re-sign with them unless he decides to go ring chasing, which I wouldn't blame him if he did. He's done so much for Dallas, and they have a ring. If he wanted to try and compete, you know, before he hung it up,
Yeah, the youngest guy right now on Dallas on their roster is Dwight Powell. Oh, no, there you go. Justin Anderson at 22. After that, you got Dwight Powell at 24. Yeah, they're gonna be struggling, man. I mean, right now they're showing Devin Harris, David Lee, Wes Matthews. Who knows what's gonna happen with Dwight? I mean, not with Dwight, with Dirk. It's looking pretty bleak over there in Dallas for Mr. Cuban.
So looking at the landscape now, you would think that Dallas probably falls out of the playoffs with the way they're currently constructed.
Hold on. You need to reconstruct that. Hold on 1 second. So looking at how the Dallas Mavericks roster is and the players that are on their team, considering that they don't have any good rookies for that reason, I'm out. Am I right? No.
I see what you did there. Okay, Shark Tank. Maybe we'll do a segment like that.
Yeah, we should.
Dallas probably out of the playoffs. I mean, who knows? You thought Portland was going to fall out this year, and they ended up being like a 5 seed. But Dallas probably falls out. I think the Jazz are for sure in. I think the Jazz can really compete the way they're currently constructed. I would imagine they go after another big. Because currently you have Jeff Withey as your backup, and I like Jeff Withey. I don't know how the front office feels with him being the main backup to Gobert, but
at the same time, I wonder how many minutes a backup center would get on this team. Cause when the Jazz go to their bench, they're probably, you know, rolling out a smaller lineup with Lyles, you know, Joe Johnson, Dante Exum.
Do you think the Jazz make that kind of their identity? I mean, cause their starters are a bit, the Jazz, the thing with the Jazz is they can go small but stay big because they're big at every single position.
Yeah.
George Hill is like the shortest guy on the roster right now at 6'2".
But he's got a
6'9".
Oh, it's 6'9" wingspan. Yeah. So he can defend multiple positions.
All I can say is I am so pumped for the defense that we're going to bring to people next year.
Our defense has always been sick. We need to put up a few more points, and that's what I think these two guys, George Hill and Johnson, are going to do for us is help get the offense moving better.
Well, especially with Johnson, in Johnson's case, and then getting Alec Burke back fully healthy. Mm-hmm. What last year was the Jazz second unit just absolutely would destroy leads or fall even further behind. Now you've made that a strength. You've made it's gone from a weakness and you've skipped like a step and now they're a strength because that you list off that bench. You have Dante, Alec, Joe Johnson, Trey Lyles, and possibly Jeff Withey. Who knows what they do there? I mean, I really don't think Jeff Withey's a bad backup center.
No, I don't think so either.
And that immediately becomes somebody that you don't want to deal with. Like, that's a team that can handle themselves.
And who knows, maybe Tibor develops and can step in. And I don't even know how many regular season minutes that guy played last year, but playing in the summer league. So
yeah, I'm excited. Well, we're going to see him tomorrow. So I'm excited to, because everything that was coming out for Tibor was just he has a great offensive game. And that would be nice to have was he a shooter? I can't remember. I know that they were saying he could play the post pretty great, but
I think he made a three last year.
Did he?
I think he did.
I mean, that would be great. And Withey can actually score too. So we just need to get a center who can come in and at least put some, what am I trying to say? Put some, I can't even try to, I lost my train of thought, but they're going to make defenses worry. You know, I can't even talk. Just go on, dude.
I don't know if the offseason is over for the Jazz. I think that they test the trade market. They see what's out there. We've got a lot of assets. I mean, there's teams already that are beyond the cap that are looking for relief. And if the Jazz step in as that Andres Biedrins and Richard Jefferson, you know, take on these contracts for the last year or two to help a team clear cap space, but you benefit by grabbing, you know, a older, you know, another wing. Who knows?
Jazz do that with Golden State and the KD?
If they can get Andre Iguodala by clearing cap space for Golden State, I would hop all over that. If you had to give up somebody, one of the core guys in a draft pick, you know, you do that. If it's
you'd do that, you'd give up a core guy for Andre Iguodala.
If it's Alec Burks, yes. If it's Derek Favors, I'm hesitant for sure.
Even if it's especially Alec with Andre, because Andre Iguodala, how old is he?
Let's see.
Me personally, I would absolutely, if you can get Iguodala, I would.
I think he came out in the 2002 draft, right?
Yeah, he's 32.
So he's younger than Joe Johnson. The only thing I say is he's that guy you can bring in to stop the other guy's best player, and he moves the ball very well. Very underrated.
I absolutely would make that happen. I don't know if I would want to give up too much to do it though, because we're doing them a service.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, what would Golden State's place be if they were picking up KD? Because they know they would have to dish.
Harrison Barnes would be gone. He's already signed the contract, so they wouldn't re-sign him. They would have to trade Bogut. And yeah, probably both. Because you've got to then extend one of your other guys, Azealy, for example. Yeah. Steph's contract's coming up. So there's an opportunity to go to help facilitate these type of moves, and they're going to happen one way or the other. So if you're the Jazz, you step in and bring in another asset. Alec Burks has had three surgeries in a year. He's played hardly anything over the last 3 years. I just think if you can upgrade the the wing position further like that, why not?
See, I agree with you. I feel like I have to come to Alex's defense, though. I think people think he's injury prone. He's had two injuries. And one of them was on a freak foul from Paul Pierce. So, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the Jazz would have all the leverage in this. I don't think they would have to give up Alec Burke. I mean, if they're saying
they have to is to make salaries match.
Yeah, exactly. They might even have to
for Golden State.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, man.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm along with Ty. I don't think the free agent market or the offseason is over for the Jazz. I still see a move, maybe two, coming. Anything else you guys want to get into today?
I don't know. And I know that no one want. I mean, the value for Trey was M&Ms or Skittles compared to dollars. But, I mean, I just
getting a second-round pick for him, I think, is a win. I really do.
But a 2021 second-round pick, I mean, that just goes to show
what the market was.
Yeah, and that just shows exactly how the market was. I mean,
it's a bummer, but you get something out of it. I get it that it's like burning a first-round pick, but
hey, for what it's worth, Richard Jefferson just posted on his Snapchat. Heard it here first. KD to Golden State.
Really?
What the hell?
Really?
Who can say? We should get into that next time, though.
Who's Richard Jefferson's contacts?
Luke Walton. They're boys.
But seriously, that could end up being their undoing too.
It might. The ball. There's not enough ball for all of them.
Yeah, that could absolutely just be their undoing. I mean, KD was having a struggle with just one all-star. You know what I mean?
Westbrook, for what it's worth, Westbrook is more of a ball stopper than Clay and Steph and Draymond. That team thrived on ball movement, and when it didn't happen, they lost it. So
absolutely, I agree.
I think there's plenty to go around and defer to him in clutch situations.
Is there enough ball for all of them?
Yeah,
I mean, I get that they get shots up like crazy. It's unbelievable the amount of shots that they can get up. Is Draymond okay not shooting ever?
Yeah.
Well, Draymond was in the Hamptons recruiting him, so he must think it can work.
Nah, I think that could end up being their undoing. And you know what? I think the Jazz roster is going to be their kryptonite, dude. That's what I think.
here's kind of what I think. We'll go through and we'll give a final say, each of us. I'll go first. I think the Jazz have built a roster about as best you can in a small market that can match up with literally every team in the NBA. If you want to go small with them, they'll go small with you because they have players that can guard every position, but we're still going to be bigger than you because Dante's 6'6". I mean, the shortest guy is 6'2". You can have a lineup out there with Dante at 6'6", Gordon Hayward playing the two at 6'8", Rodney 6'8". Joe Johnson, I believe, is also 6'8", isn't he?
6'7".
6'7". And then you have two 6'10", 7-footers out there at the same time that can guard multiple positions. The team is absolutely scary defensively. That's my take on it. I think that's going to keep us in games, and now we have more experience on the team to push us over that hump. I see us as like a 50 to 55 win team next year.
All right, I think this is my take. I'm stoked for next year, and I don't know why any Jazz fan would have any reason to complain by what the moves that the GMs and the front office are doing over there in Salt Lake, dude. I mean, they completely made themselves stronger without sacrificing any assets, without sacrificing any type of team chemistry, without sacrificing anything. They just made their team stronger. And I don't know why anyone would be upset or bugged by the moves that were made. And all you can be is excited for what's happening. I mean, things are looking great in Utah. And I honestly, I mean, they're starting to gain national attention and people are starting to recognize that Utah is going to be a force. And I just wish that people would just embrace that here in Utah and just get amped, man, because it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
I'll just reiterate the fact that we improved our team without sacrificing the future of the core guys. Hayward being up for extension is a huge question mark, whether he goes or stays for another day. But to have the guys in place now, we're going to be more aesthetically pleasing on offense, I believe. Our defense should still be top five. I'd be very surprised if we weren't. If we can avoid the injury bug and settle into the roles that Quinn's going to have for the guys, I see this as a four seed, top four or five in the West. The divisions don't make a difference now, but I would say they compete for the Northwest division and are a five seed, hovering right around 50 wins.
Well, that is our take on free agency so far. There's still a lot of things that could happen, but we hope you have a fantastic 4th of July, Jazz Nation. Thank you so much for tuning in to the second episode of All That Jazz. Be sure to subscribe. Let us know what you think in the comments. And hopefully we will be on iTunes in this next week to make it a little bit easier access.
Jazz hype train is off and running. You better get on now.
Get on the train now. If you get on now, you can avoid being called a bandwagon fan like Tyler. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time. For me, Brian Gonzalez, Drew Thomas, the commissioner, and Tyler Olson. We'll catch you next time. See ya.